Welcome to the FantasyGuru.com Franchise Focus Podcast. Now here's Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley.
And we've come to the end here of the Franchise Focus Podcast. Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley getting ready to talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's right, they'll have the number one pick in the draft. So that means we're at the final edition of these Franchise Focus Podcasts. We appreciate you being with us. And if you're just getting into it now, don't forget you can catch up on all 31 other teams. Everything up on the website at fantasyguru.com. Also at blogtalkradio.com/fantasyguru. We'll be talking about what's going to happen with the Bucs in the draft. Who have they added this offseason? Who have they lost? Fantasy implications. And obviously the number one pick and beyond, because they have other needs there as well. We'll get into all of it here on the Franchise Focus Podcast, the final edition of this. But before we do that, I want to tell you about our friends at FanDuel.com. Don't wait another day. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. The leader in one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. Entry fees start at just $1. Stop waiting 6 months to win a league. Play today and win tonight. Pick a brand new team any day you want. There's no season-long commitment, and you can play NHL and NBA playoff games on FanDuel, too. So, Joe, if you want to dabbling a little hoops, dabbling a little NHL. Maybe you realize those seasons are starting to wind down and you want to kind of satisfy that urge to play. This is your last chance to do it. And then you can jump into football, baseball as well.
Yeah, and it'll get you kind of primed up for football season, which is a big star of FanDuel as well. You can really play anything. And I personally like dabbling in the playoff games. You don't have to focus on so much or as big a slate. Maybe try to get in on basketball and then get into baseball. It'll be a lot of fun.
Joe Watson from New York played fantasy sports on FanDuel for less than 2 weeks and won over $30,000. Join him and over 1 million other users who have already won money. FanDuel's paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer is only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. So, guys, usually when we start these podcasts, we talk about what's going on with the team currently, who they currently have. But I think with the Buccaneers, it's all going to start with Jameis Winston, because it's pretty much a lock. He is going to be a Buccaneer when the draft gets underway.
Are we certain
yes.
of that?
Yes.
I.
Are you buying into these random rumors that have just popped up over the last week or two as we get down to the end of the draft?
Not particularly, and I still think I'm...
I'm 85-90% sure.
Yeah,
like Winston,
I'm just like,
but there's still that sliver.
You know what's kind of spooking me? The Bortles stuff from last year. We didn't hear a word
how
about
the Jags. Kind of, they didn't bring him in for visits and threw off the scent. And
there are all kinds of.
I think it's Winston.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you I think you're wrong. I think it's Jameis Winston.
There's nobody else, right?
Mariota.
No. Outside of those two, they're not going like totally.
I don't think they go broke.
If they did not take a quarterback, I'd be absolutely floored. I think their fans would revolt, personally.
Yep.
You can say what you want about Mike Glennon, but, I mean, I don't think the fans are buying tickets to go see
him. I don't think they're clamoring for Mike Glennon to get another shot.
The two quarterbacks they have on their roster right now are Mike Glennon and Domo Arigato Seth Lobato.
Yes.
They're drafting quarterback, and they're drafting number one. I'm not 100%. Let's put it this way. I would not put my life savings on it being Jameis Winston.
Okay. Now, part of that is his on-field stuff. Obviously, there's off-field stuff there as well. We all know about that. But if we're talking about Jameis Winston, and let's say he is the guy, what's the learning curve here for Jameis Winston? He's got some help around him. He's got Vincent Jackson. He's got Mike Evans.
I honestly got to tell you, I don't love Winston as a prospect. And I wonder if this is a team where he could really struggle. Now, Evans and Jackson's great. Evans is going to be a great receiver for a long time in the league. This is a really, really, really bad offensive line. I mean, absolute trash. And Jameis Winston is slow. He's deliberate. I don't know if it's a great fit for him.
Now, I mean, people use that excuse for Josh McCown. Oh, the line was bad. That's why it was. Sure. I don't put that on the reasons that he did not excel. I don't think that's a big – I mean, it's important to what happened to the team last year and to Josh McCown. But I don't think Josh McCown – he was such a great player in Chicago and he came to Tampa. What happened? He didn't have Mark Trestman there anymore. Yeah. And he didn't have the same
kind of – He's Josh McCown.
Right. He's Josh McCown. So – yeah, Cleveland is apparently thinking, well, we'll just roll it right back with Josh McCown. We'll find some of that Chicago magic, but the O-line was an issue. So for Winston, that is an issue from day one. But as we said, you have Mike Evans, you have Vincent Jackson, you have Austin Seferian and Jenkins, who did not have a great rookie season, most like many rookie tight ends. He's got
the receiving weapons that you'd want, you know, coming into the league.
Giant weapons everywhere.
Usually number one drafting teams don't have those kind of weapons.
You're in better shape if you go here than if you go to Tennessee.
Oh, absolutely.
In terms of who you're throwing to. They signed Lou Murphy to an extension. Hey, the guy's not great, but he had an okay year last year.
Yeah.
They drafted Robert Huron out of Wyoming last year. We saw him play a couple snaps here and there. There's a lot to work with here, at least in terms of the receiving core. My issue, as I said, the offensive line for a guy like Winston, who isn't going to be eluding pressure, I think lacks some subtleties in the pocket. Threw a bunch of picks at Florida State last year. Think there's going to be potential issues there. However, I think a big issue, and this is going to be a problem whether you land in Tampa or Tennessee for one of these quarterbacks, the run game is miserable in Tampa Bay.
They thought they were kind of trying to bounce back with Doug Martin last year, and he got hurt early, and he did not play well. And then it was Bobby Rainey.
He looked the best out of the group.
I guess, if that means anything. Yeah. Now, Martin did finish the season somewhat on a high note. We all wondered about Charles Sims.
Oh, high note? Really?
Somewhat?
That was on note.
A note. He
finished on a note.
I thought he finished okay. I just remember at the end of the season, he was... Considering how bad he was, anything was up from what he was doing.
He topped 100 yards from scrimmage in week 17. One run.
It's a high note, Joe.
That was his entire season on one run.
That was the note. That was the high note. We're not getting excited about Doug Martin. That's why my point is we're going to get into this year. Is that that's the high note of the season. And I guess Bobby Rennie's 17 catch game, whatever the hell it was, against Atlanta when they got blown out of the water.
His two fumble game. Oh, my God. Speaking of FanDuel, that was a guy I was pushing.
That was a Thursday night game.
That was a Thursday night game. And I'm like, get in. You want Bobby Rennie? And then he fumbled twice. And I'm like, but then he came back and they were getting blown out. They just had checkdowns to him. That was one of the all-time recovery games from a player.
Martin had 96 in week 15 and then 108 in week 17. He had 17 in between that, though. So Bobby Rainey, Doug Martin. Remember Charles Sims was supposed to be their new Matt Forte or pass catcher, whatever Lovie Smith tried to say to pump him up. Didn't happen because he missed half the season. We didn't get to see the guy. And
he did break his ankle.
I'm not knocking him.
No, I'm saying even when he did come back, he's coming off a broken ankle. You know, that could be
a
tough,
really crappy offensive line.
Only had 19 catches on 27 targets when he came back, too. Yeah. Look, when we get into all this here, Martin, Sims, Rainey, I still think running back is an important need for this team. I don't know what they think of Martin. I think we saw Martin last year come back from his injury and not get the job done. I don't think Lovie Smith's very high on him or staff is very high on him. They didn't draft him. You know, you have Sims. I think there's certainly a role for Sims. Hopefully he stays healthy and we get a better look at him. Bobby Rainey's a guy. He's been on four different teams last couple of years.
Here's the thing about Bobby Rainey, though. By far was their most effective back when he had the ball in his hands last year, and they just didn't play him. And it was really strange to me. 4.3 yards per carry.
And it was weird because it's a new staff. It wasn't like they were totally tied to Doug Martin, who was a first-round pick.
Don't forget here, Jeff Tedford never really got going there. Yeah. He had the issues, and then they moved on from
nothing.
They had
Arroyo calling plays. Yeah. I mean, he was in over his head. And you know what? I'm not knocking him for being in over his head.
A lot of things went wrong for this offense last year.
But how about Rainey? He didn't even play an offensive snap in the final two games. But he averaged 4.3 yards per carry, which is a nice number, and 9.5 yards per catch, a very nice number. I guess they wanted to get a better look at Sims, which makes sense to me, maybe get a final look at Doug Martin. Bobby Rainey didn't play an offensive snap, guys, over the final three games of the regular season. But through week 14, 9.8 fantasy points per game in a PPR, he was number 32 among running backs. So through that point, he was actually a guy worth rostering, and I think a lot of people forget that. I was just surprised that, given how awful this backfield was, that something happened with Bobby Rainey where they're just like, well, you're just not going to play in the final three.
By the way, he
weren't trying to win either in those games. That's true. They wanted that number one pick, so maybe don't play your best player.
Rainey was tendered as an RFA, so he's back with the team.
Yeah, that actually, based on what happened to him at the end of the year, I was like, is that even going to happen? But he is back, and I'm almost wondering, guys, is Bobby Rainey the guy you want in this backfield if they don't make a big addition in the draft?
If they make a big addition in the draft, I think there's going to be – I mean, this is a wide-open competition, I think, right now. Now, is Sims a role player? Is he a guy that we expect to see on the field more than the other guys? Is that a possibility? Or is he a guy that you're expecting to go, okay, his role is to be pass catcher, he'll get a chance at 70 catches this year?
I still think that's what he ideally is. He's a complimentary player.
It's nice to say that. But they don't know who else – I mean, who's their guy? You know, you want to say that. You go, oh, he'll fit nice, but with who? And is that player on the roster right now?
Might not be. I mean, but they have so many holes, though. I don't see them spending a high pick on a running back.
I kind of agree with you in that respect, too. They have three backs. Martin was great as a rookie and has been terrible since. Sims, as you said, incomplete grade on this guy. Yep. And Rainey, when he's gotten a shot, has actually been a pretty effective player. Because of everything they need –
I can't spend a top three pick on
it. I don't know if you're going to see them draft a running back, and in which case it becomes a fascinating backfield for fantasy. Maybe not one that I even mess with
at all. That's what it would come down to for me. I'm not excited about it. I probably wouldn't go near it. And where are these guys going right now? I mean, Sims, I think, would be the one I think we'd be most interested in. Where is he going? Are people really ready to get back on board with him as in a PPR, especially?
MFL 10 drafts, believe it or not. And I really dislike this. Doug Martin is the highest picked guy at 88.7, seventh, eighth round pick.
People love that high note.
33 at running back, right after Bishop Sankey, right ahead of Ryan Matthews.
Oh, what a group there.
I'd rather have Matthews than both of them, to be honest with you. He's the 33rd running back, so people are expecting him to be a three. The problem with Martin is I didn't see anything from him that I liked last year.
The last 2 years.
And over his last 17 games, by the way, he has like 130 receiving yards. After putting up nearly 500 as a rookie, there's something rotten in the state of Denmark.
He had 25 for 130 on 43 targets in his last 17 after posting 49 for 72 and a touchdown on 70 targets as a rookie. What the hell happened?
Can it just be the injury? I don't know.
Injury and O-line combination.
Is it not as good as he looked?
This O-line is very bad, but still, I mean, injury, he hasn't shown O-line. Any kind of elusiveness.
Sims, 48th among running backs off the board, 131. That's an 11th round pick. I think that's pretty nice.
So he's in that, I think, guys, we've talked about in the pass catchers, the Reggie Bush area, something like that.
Nobody's even drafting Rainey.
I mean,
I'm not surprised,
but maybe that's the guy you end up.
That might actually
with the
end up being.
That's
as
the
I said,
guy, yeah.
The last 2 years he's been their best back.
Huh? Right.
So for a guy who's
before
not
you take
drafted,
those kickers
yeah.
and defenses, maybe that's a guy you
but
scoop
the
up.
The backfield
that
stands
pick.
Now is not going to get us excited for fantasy. It's not one you're targeting. You're getting
and
pumped
we,
up.
We've
about.
Seen Lovey kind of lean on the running game before, but he brought in Dirk Cutter, who's doesn't have the most conservative offenses. What are we going to see? Yeah.
Good.
What are we going to see from this offense?
What you want is Vincent Jackson and especially Mike Evans to be the heart and soul of this offense.
Yeah.
Which I really like.
And Mike Evans was clearly that guy last year. I mean, he was rolling no matter what the quarterback situation was, and it was never good last year. He was tremendous. He missed one game with the groin injury. I thought he'd miss more time. 68, 10, 31, 12 on 118 targets, 15.5 yards per catch, 57.6 catch rate. That could go up. Quarterback situation, if it gets better, should help that. The number 14 wide receiver at 16.3 fantasy points per game. Just three 100-yard games.
That's what kind of scared me. A lot of it was on touchdowns.
Touchdowns. That
I mean,
will
he's a
worry
big guy.
He's a touchdown guy.
Yeah, he's going to be active in the red zone.
Did have six games where he didn't hit 10 fantasy points. I mean, there was some downside there. Kind of reminds you of Vincent Jackson. That's what we talked about in terms of his size, but the numbers are similar
this?
There.
Would this surprise you? Mike Evans, the type of player he is, and knowing that he was a big-time touchdown scorer, he had just one target inside the 5-yard line all year.
Yep.
So they didn't even throw
Jeremy,
the fade.
Jeremy Maclin was the only one with 10 more touchdowns that had more red zone, fewer red zone targets.
So he's a big play guy, but
see, the problem is they weren't scoring very much and he still scored touchdowns.
You might offset the big play touchdowns maybe with some shorter ones, because he's a guy who's capable of scoring those touchdowns.
Maybe more catches as well, and maybe more yards. 1031 is a very nice number, but I think this is a guy that's on the rise, and you want to get a piece of him, and you're happy about him. Now, where is he going, though? Because he was number 14 last year, which was a surprise.
It was an inconsistent 14.
Correct.
I think it was usually
it's a like game
top
log 14,
10 or
yes.
top 30.
Yeah. You're looking at the game logs.
He's
for my
10th at receiver being drafted, 23.08. MFL 10, I'm okay with it. You're going to get some games from him.
Yeah.
He's a late second-round pick. I think that's probably where we're going to see him going in redraft, though.
And that inconsistency, though. I mean, that spot, I'd rather go for like a Randall Cobb or something right there.
Well, as a matter of fact,
somebody that's
going to
get me
Cobb's
10 fantasy points
going after him.
I don't understand that.
I would draft Cobb over
exactly.
Just because, once again, as I said,
he's going to be playing with a rookie quarterback this year.
I'm not convinced this is a great spot for Jameis Winston to succeed as a rookie.
I mean, I think the quarterback situation will be a little more stable this year, but But it's not something I'm going to get very excited about.
Vincent Jackson had the big drop off in touchdowns, and his numbers suffered as a result. Just two touchdowns.
He didn't score after week four, I believe it was.
70 for catches for just over 1,000 yards, two touchdowns, 14.3 yards per catch. 50% catch rate is not good. We know that.
He's never been better than that in his time in Tampa.
Even in San Diego. I mean,
he's a downfield guy. We've pretty much known that. Yeah. But when you only have two touchdowns, it's a problem. Tied for 40th at wide receiver, 11.4 fantasy points per game, zero after week four. Zero. 14.3 yards per catch, the lowest of his career. The only time he scored fewer touchdowns when he was a rookie, and he had three catches that year. Inefficient. We know that's kind of his game. He's another guy that you look at the game logs, go, oh, that was a big one, and he went away. Well, that was a big
one. He's not scoring touchdowns.
But
you don't want any part of him.
That's why he's at 40. Now,
and
once again,
I'm curious, have people shied away from him because he didn't score touchdowns?
For the most part, yeah. He finished 40th in PPR among wide receivers last year. He's currently going 39th off the board at wide receiver. Pick 82.34 makes him a 7th, 8th round pick. I think that's a pretty fair spot to take him in an MFL 10, and I'd almost rather have him in that format because I don't have to juggle when I'm going to play him or not in my redraft leagues. If I get the big games that Vincent Jackson's been known to put up, you get him in the format. If he goes for 1 for 15, as he did far too often last year, going for a small game, you don't have to worry about that either. Probably not a guy I'm targeting in my redraft leagues.
Yeah, I remember when he was with the Chargers for 7 years and he signed a big deal, and it was, do you want to sign a guy that's already in the league for 7 years to a big contract on a new team? He's had at least 70 catches every year. He's had 1,000 yards every year with the team. He's played every game the last four seasons. Now, he's been in the league since 2005. And
the first year that he really hasn't been the man in the offense.
Right. I think that's a good point.
I mean, that's kind of scary, though. You know, maybe that's why those touchdowns did dip so far.
And speaking of not being the man of the offense, Joe, you remember last year there was rumors of trade. The Eagles were mentioned as a possible trade candidate there. Now, I don't think that's going to – I think that's gone now, because you want to have those big guys for Winston or whoever the quarterback may be. You want to have those targets on the outside. And we like these two guys. And then you get into Austin Seferi and Jenkins, who – look, played just 9 games. Back injuries, foot injuries, 21 catches, 221 yards, 2 touchdowns on 36 targets, 10.5 yards per catch, 6.1 fantasy points per game. More productive on a per-game basis than any other rookie tight end. That's not saying much compared to the group last year.
Yeah, Jason Morrow, Eric Ebron. Those guys weren't too much either.
But, you know, when we talked to him last year before the draft, he said, we look for that sizzle. He's like, I don't have the sizzle, but I have the spark. He's talked about, you know, he's a good blocker, a chain mover, you know, red zone guy. And I think there's a role, Joe, for that in the league. There's a comparison there, I think.
It's very similar to what we've heard Martellus Bennett say. Because Martellus Bennett has come in, he's been on the radio program as well, and he said, I don't love fantasy football because I like moving the chains. And you don't get credit for moving the chains in fantasy football, which I think, you know, maybe is something
first down,
you should consider.
Tight end, first down.
If Jameis Winston goes here, I'll probably be targeting Austin Seferi and Jenkins at the end of draft because, you know, just from watching Jameis a little bit the last 2 years, I mean, he peppers the middle of the field. He peppered his tight ends a lot. So, I mean,
that's a spot where AHJ is going to work, yes.
Evans and Jackson don't really work the middle of the field all that much. So, you know, he's going to be a guy, a sneaky, probably value pick towards the end
of the draft. People are high in him, aren't they?
Really high, actually. Yeah. Sneaky in NFL 10s. Remember, these are the savvier players, the ones who are playing this right now. And that's why I think for the most part, when we've been discussing this ADP, we've been saying, you know what, that makes sense. You understand why people are drafting these guys where they're drafting them. Austin Seferian Jenkins. All right, take a guess where he's going among tight ends.
15.
14.
12.
Okay.
So people are drafting him as a number one.
They're projecting.
126.06, but as he's 10th, 11th round pick, people are waiting on their tight ends. I think, interesting.
What round is that? I'm sorry?
That's about the 10th or 11th round.
Okay. Are people thinking he's going to be? Are they misreading what he is?
Well, also, keep in mind, they brought in Dirk Cutter, who in recent years has coached Tony
Except
Gonzalez.
Except for last year, with Levine Toilolo.
But can he be Tony Gonzalez of the last couple of years? He doesn't have to be the downfield, you know, the guy who stretches the field.
Dirk Cutter's also familiar with Mercedes Lewis, and I think maybe that's more of a fantasy comparison.
Yeah, Lewis's best years were with Dirk Cutter. So.
He's actually going ahead of Tyler Eifert, ahead of Eric Ebron, ahead of Jason Witten, ahead of Kobe Flinger.
Witten I get because of the format. You're shooting for a little bit more upside. And how much time does Witten have left?
I think we've said that for a couple of
years. I know. But in this format, you're playing for a little bit more upside.
I'm still surprised, like, because I kind of like Kobe Flinger in this format. Because, once again,
boom or bust,
another one of those guys where you don't have to worry about if it's the game where he drops three touchdowns. Because if you get the multi-touchdown game.
Right.
I think it's an aggressive ranking. I kind of like it, but it makes me wonder, is he really going to be somebody who's slipping through the cracks?
I guess not.
He's the guy everybody has highlighted for the breakout.
I think he's going to move up. I think he will continue to move up, and I think the hype train will get going.
But I think there's reason for hype there. I mean, he was the guy that showed the most out of the rookie tight ends, and I really think if Winston lands there, he's going to pepper him in the
middle. That's the thing. I mean, is that a positive or a negative there with the quarterback situation?
I think it could be a very, very positive thing for him.
Okay. I'm not going to reach on a tight end if I don't feel awesome about the quarterback situation. That's all. And it's still a young, developing team. And there's a lot of things that have to happen. So as we get into the draft here with these guys, after Winston, after the quarterback at one, whoever that may be, Mariota or Winston, whatever they do, O-line's the top of the list.
Very, very tall.
This is a bad.
By the way, that's not a sell, is it? With a team that has needs. We haven't heard that talk at all, trading the number one pick.
Well,
we've heard two.
We heard it before, and actually one of my big brainstorms before the Eagles traded for Sam Bradford was they could use their first rounder and Lane Johnson to move up to number one. And I see my thought was there's no way Tampa entertains that unless they're getting Lane Johnson.
Right.
And then I was wondering, is there a fit there? Because why would Philadelphia trade Lane Johnson? If they trade the number one pick, maybe I don't see that happening.
I don't think, I'm just throwing it out there. I don't think it's happening.
I think they get their pick. They get Winston or Mariota, whichever guy they prefer.
The need of quarterback is just too big.
And they don't have one on the roster. This isn't Tennessee who's like, oh, you know, Mettenberger showed some things.
They aren't high on Glenn.
They don't like Lovie Smith. Doesn't like Mike Glenn.
Yeah. I mean, they've made
that
clear.
He ruined his trade value last year when he talked about McCown. McCown's our guy. Yep. Okay.
They do not like Mike Glenn. That's bottom line. Now, I think Glennon has showed more than they're giving him credit for, but also, something behind the scenes here?
Maybe he's not picking it up.
Is Glennon not impressing in meeting rooms?
Could be between the years with Mike Glennon. It could be.
Look, last year, I think you look at the numbers, you're like, all right, he at the least played comparably to the way McCown played.
They couldn't wait to get McCown back.
And they were a bad team. Why wouldn't you get the younger player out in the field?
Couldn't wait when he came back from that injury to get McCown back on the field. So, all right, quarterback, let's say it's taken care of at one. O-line's got to be big.
Multiple picks.
Yeah.
They got George Johnson in that interesting scenario from the Lions where they signed him to an offer sheet and the Lions fired tampering charges. Then they worked out a deal. They have some interesting players on defense.
Well, it's been a need for a while, though. They need an edge rusher.
They do. Well, that's why they went and signed George Johnson.
I know.
I wouldn't be surprised. First round, you take the quarterback. Second round, you go get a lineman. maybe third round, the edge rusher, another lineman in the fourth round.
And then you get that.
They are also a candidate, by the way, the Buccaneers, trading back in the later rounds. Just saying, oh, we have the second pick of the second round. We're moving back 10 spots because somebody wants to move up.
We need
and
picks.
We're gonna get a fourth round pick for that.
We're going to reload a couple spots here. So
don't be surprised to see the Buccaneers making moves during the draft.
All right, there you go. Our look at the Buccaneers, our final Franchise Focus podcast. Want to react to these, use the hashtag Franchise Focus. Tweet to us at Fantasy Guru Site, at the Matt Camp, at FG underscore Dolan, at FG underscore Brawley. And one final reminder about FanDuel. Don't wait another day. Sign up now to play one day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. Entry fees start at just $1. You don't have to wait 6 months to win a league. You can play today and win tonight. No season-long commitment and no upfront fees. Tom, how is your season-long team doing? And if it's not doing well, aren't you jumping all over FanDuel right now?
Oh, it's off to a very slow start. My team just can't get it going. So now's a good time to jump on FanDuel while my other team is doing poorly.
Right.
I can get guys that are actually playing well into my lineup.
You can make some money back playing NHL or NBA playoff games as well. That's nice. Joe Watson from New York played fantasy sports on FanDuel for less than 2 weeks and won over $30,000. Join him and over 1 million other users who have already won money. FanDuel's paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU, FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com, FanDuel.com. Sign up today and make sure you sign up right now at FantasyGuru.com to take advantage of the early bird special. It ends at the end of April, so not much time left to take advantage of that. $24.95, $5 off the regular season price, or $45 for two seasons. That's another discount there for you. In addition to these podcasts, check out the Pre-Draft Rookie Report, Pre-Draft Rookie Report podcast, John Hanson and Greg Cosell. Check out the Post-Free Agency podcast. And as soon as the draft is over, you know, we'll be ramping things up. We'll have the Stock Watch. We will have a post-rookie report there. We'll have better rankings, better feel for everything when we know where everybody's going. Also, check out Mike Horn's offensive identity articles. Really good stuff there, and we're working a lot of that into our player profile. So a lot of stuff going on now, and of course, we'll really ramp things up in July and August for your drafts and in season as well.
Thank you for listening to all 32.
I'm sure this is everybody's waiting for number 32 in the zip, but if you haven't caught the rest, you can catch up. Catch up right now.
Still time.
Plenty of time before the drafts. You got a week to do all this. Go to FantasyGuru.com. It's all there for you, or BlogTalkRadio.com/FantasyGuru. So this is it. We appreciate you being with us for all of these franchise-focused podcasts. Hopefully you enjoyed them. As I said, tweet us with your reactions or questions. If you didn't get them in on these shows, we appreciate your questions and everything that you've responded to and reacted to with these. We enjoy doing them. More of this to come. A lot more podcasts coming your way once we get into the season and the preseason as well. So for the final time of the Franchise Focus podcast, for Joe Dolan and Tom Brawley, I'm Matt Camp. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you down the road at FantasyGuru.com.